Our guest on Now That Reminds Me is Jim Malone. Jim, before the break, we were talking about your love of sport, which was given to you by the Christian Brothers. But they hardly give you your love of soccer, did they?
No. It's a remarkable thing as regards my love for soccer. Of course, I have love for all sports, but particularly for soccer and soccer in Dundalk. It probably stemmed from my very first match in the athletic grounds that my late father brought me to in late 1930s. But I remember the very first match, and I was enthralled with it, actually. And I think from that, the love of soccer grew. Possibly, I might have cried a few times in my life, but very few, but one of them that sticks out, I can remember, Jerry, and probably laugh at this, was in 1940 in the athletic grounds, and I literally cried. Dundalk were playing a non-league side, a distillery from Dublin, and they were beaten 2-1. Reid, playing for distillery, scored in the last minute to put us out of the FAI Cup. And I remember walking up the ramparts, literally in tears at that defeat.
I suppose when Ashton Villa beat Dundalk last season, it was a case of deja vu.
Oh, definitely. It brought back all the memories flooding. But I think Joe Donnelly would be about the only survivor from either of those two teams at the moment.
Now, football in the 1940s, what was it like then?
Football in the 1940s, it's amazing the crowds that were attracted in the 40s and 50s, when you look back on it and see the crowds that are going now. And I would say that applies, with the exception to the All-Ireland final and semi-finals, I'd say that it applies to most sporting fixtures, both Gaelic soccer or rugby. The same, it would apply the dramatic falling off that there is in attendances. In the 40s, it was nothing uncommon to get, say, 4,000 to 5,000 people attending Oriel Park just for an ordinary match in Oriel Park. I remember one particular match in the late 50s against Waterford, a cup match, and there was a crowd of 7,000 people at it.
Why do you think the attendances have fallen off these days?
Jerry, I have my own view on that, and a lot of people won't agree with me. I would think that what has happened, as regards soccer in particular, I would say is that the enthusiasm for the game is not there. And there are no characters now that you could look back, and I really mean this, it's not a question of saying, oh, it was better 20 years ago, but if you look back, there are no characters in football now like the characters that were in the 50s and early 60s.
Who were the characters of the 50s and 60s?
Ah, there were loads of them in the 50s and 60s. Now, apart from Dundalk, you had characters with Shamrock Rovers and with Shelburne and Mickey Burke, big Tony Gaskins. Earlier still, you had Priestley playing for Shelburne. You had Eddie Carroll. There were loads of them. And I would think that not many people would remember this, but there was what was known in the up until, I think it would be around the middle 40s, there was what was known as the open door in those days as far as soccer was concerned. In other words, Dundalk could sign any player who was playing even first division football in England or Scotland. They were at liberty to sign those players because there was no recognition for the Football Association or the Free State Football Association, as it was known in those days. They weren't, the FAI was not a member of UEFA at that stage, which meant that there was a free road for players moving between Ireland and England or Scotland or Wales, with the result that many famous players who were full internationals played. I remember them playing with the Dundalk. There was Jack Hampton, Andy McLuggage, who was a full Irish international, playing with Burnley when he was signed by the powers that be in those days. And that was typical. Well, they added, like, you not alone had Dundalk players of that calibre, but the other clubs, Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers particularly, they had players of the same calibre, which attracted the crowds. Like, I mean, that's really it. I'd say that football, the standard of football has improved, although a lot of people don't realise it, but the standard of football has improved, I would say. It's not as competitive as it was in those days, but nevertheless, the standard has improved.
As somebody who enjoys Gaelic football, hurling and soccer, in those days you must have run into trouble with the infamous ban.
Well, I didn't really, but the two brothers did. Barney, he was played for Loud at the particular time, and he was banned. He was a regular on the Loud team, and he was banned from playing for Loud simply because he played a few soccer matches for the then Bendigo, which brings me to another story, Jerry, about Bendigo. He played for Bendigo, were a famous club in the 40s from Parnell Park, a soccer club, and Bendigo won the Junior Cup. I think it was the Bernard Maguire Cup, it was known in those days, but they won the Junior Cup. But there was great excitement in and around the Dublin Road and Parnell Park area. But one Michael McEntee was over in on holidays in England, brother of the late Joe McEntee's. But he was in holidays in England, and he, of course, was very interested in how Bendigo did in the cup final. And there was a saying that time, it used to be a kind of a catchphrase, good enough Bendigo. But Michael was on holidays, so he got the result that Bendigo had won the final, and he got the brilliant idea. He sent a telegram to the manager of Bendigo in Parnell Park. He sent a telegram to him. Good enough, Bendigo, signed George Arliss. Now, George Arliss was the famous manager of Arsenal at that particular time. And, of course, he went round showing everybody that he had got a telegram from George Arliss. Good enough, Bendigo.
Of course, telegrams aren't in fashion these days, are they?
No, that's one of the things. That's another of the things that have gone out of fashion completely. Yeah, I don't know how they manage now at the weddings and that, but that was one of the ones that you sent the telegram, like, you know.
Of course, around this time you would have been forging a career for yourself in accountancy. Why did you decide on accountancy?
Well, I go back again to Brother Kennedy. I had a discussion with him as to what kind of career we should follow, and he mentioned accountancy to me, and it did seem attractive at the time, and he said he would give me every assistance, and he got me apprenticed then to, he was instrumental in getting me apprenticed then to James and Joe McGrath and Company in Park Street.